Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Today's guest is John the Manimal Beneducci. He's a retired professional MMA fighter, a second-degree black belt, a jiu-jitsu coach, and self-proclaimed historian. He also refers to himself as the son of Odin, the god of war. Manimal works with many professional and amateur MMA fighters and is a wealth of knowledge. In this podcast, we talk about self-improvement, making your dreams a reality, taking ownership. We also reflect a bit about some of the concerning moments during the pandemic where people were losing their jobs based on vaccination status. We touch on some more hot topics like the restructuring of the education system, pronoun controversies, and we talk about how deep truths can potentially become manipulated in this current digital era. You can follow John on Instagram at ManimalJohn. And that's it. I hope you enjoy this conversation that we had. It's always an interesting time. Like I said, he's a wealth of knowledge and super entertaining to listen to. So without further ado, enjoy the podcast.
Sweet.
Yo, so what's good, Danny?
Dude, I'm really excited to do this with you because I haven't done this. I haven't podcasted with anybody on my personal show in a long time. And, you know, I was just kind of building my gym business. Priorities shifted. And honestly, dude, I also like lost interest in maintaining the podcast. Oh, look at you sparking up. And now I'm just like, I think about it a lot. So I'm glad to be here with you and talk, basically.
I like getting back into podcasting with you. You know, you had a lot of episodes. The gym is a full-time beast. Yeah. Even if you try to do it small, it becomes a big thing.
Yeah, totally.
Even a small spot becomes very time consuming, making sure everyone's on point, keeping everyone accountable.
Yeah.
Winds up being huge. And you look like you run a great spot down there. I love what you're doing. I see you got a lot of kid athletes, like teen athletes. I love that.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, and the mace.
Yeah. And it's great because like I met you in 2019 and like I met you like at the start of all this. And, you know, you've influenced me a lot. I've gotten excited from having good conversations with you. And, you know, I learned from a lot of people that I podcasted with. And then, you know, I realized that also when I haven't been podcasting, that when I did podcast, I learned so much from people. And I made that information practical and I just started doing it myself. And next thing you know, you have a place and you're building a business and it's working and it's growing. Morphing, and it's cool. So you influenced me and I'm glad to be here talking to you and chatting about consciousness, really, is what we're going to talk about.
I still do have to come out there and do some Manimal training though.
I would love if you did.
I see like you have like a self-defense guide that's there.
Yeah.
So I wonder what I could do to add. You already do steel mace. You know, like when I do my Manimal training camp, that's like a mix of steel mace, striking and body weight conditioning. It's kind of like a basic program. So I wonder if maybe I'd want to do something a little different by you. Would I want to do all martial arts? You know, maybe how to use striking into grappling. Do I want to do that type of seminar?
Yeah, the sky's the limit. There's nobody telling me how to do things. So yeah, I would love to brainstorm some more and figure out something, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to figure out something. I you know, when we talk about consciousness, we also have to talk about self-mastery. And I said I wanted to come out and do something, so I have to do it. Even if it takes me a little time,
sure.
It's not something that's going to not be something I have to do. I said it. I have congruency as one of my values. I added that to the battle board too. Now I put five values on it for everyone.
You took a picture of it and posted it the other day.
Yeah, this is my most recent one.
And I love it. I love the concept of it. Like I teach it to my athletes. I use it. It's right behind me. It's not in the same like format, but it's there.
Yeah, I like the triangle to do it because it, for me, becomes a symbol. Symbols very important.
Okay.
Symbols are extremely powerful. That's why I keep it as the pyramid. First, I write it down like you have it. So I've been doing a lot of battle boards with people. Mm-hmm. Everyone in my Roll Forever program. I make them do a battle board. We take a full hour and we just make the battle board. And they all find it really helpful. And a lot of guys say they never spent an hour thinking about what they were about.
Yeah. I remember when you and I first started talking about it, I got excited instantaneously. And I've used that structure the last couple of years and it works.
It's super basic.
It's simple, but it works. And I love the symbology. I mean, the triangle, the 369, the numbers of, you know, the Fibonacci sequence, that is nature, the spiral. There's so many congruencies.
Really, that's Odin's eye too, the Fibonacci sequence.
What's that?
Odin's eye, right? Odin sacrifices his eye for wisdom. When you do like that, the Fibonacci sequence around like the Helix Nebula, it looks like the Eye of Odin.
Mm.
So it's a good way to think about manifestation and growth.
Yeah. So like you're conditioning. Like basically what it taught me was to condition myself. You know, it's like you have to do these non-negotiables every single day, and that's just what you're holding yourself towards. And you put it under this umbrella of your interests and then your projects and then your mission, you know, and you have your values and you have your, you know, whatever else I'm missing there. And you just stick to it. And over time, like your reality has no choice but to form to what your inner and outer thoughts are saying, feeling, doing, behaving, your relationships, your networking, your value, your contribution to the world, all that starts to kind of muster up into your reality, right?
Yeah, all that stuff starts to get reinforced, especially when you look at it every day, then you know what you're about. I added a couple things to it. I added my mantras now. Mantra. And I also put my five core values because it became very important now for me to know what my values are. Otherwise, you're going to wind up doing things that make you feel unfulfilled and also could take parts of your willpower away. Personal power is super important. And what I noticed happened to a lot of people during the last 2 years, let's say, is most people completely lost their personal power. Their sovereignty, they gave to someone else. However that manifested, it could have manifested in a lot of different ways. But I do notice that happened. And I think a lot of the reason that happens, that we wind up living out of alignment, is because we don't know what our core values are. We don't know what we're about. So what I want to do first with people is make sure they know what they're about. Otherwise, you're going to say yes to things you never should. So like my first value is freedom. So when my first value is freedom, every decision I make has to keep that in mind. So if someone's like, hey, do you want to do you want to teach at a place 5 days a week? No, not really, because that's going to limit my freedom. I'll do seminars. I like having private online clients, maybe a small group, but I don't want to get committed anywhere for a long time. That might limit my freedom, right? If I was going to commit to a spot, it would have to be for a specified amount of time, right? If I'm thinking of my freedom in mind, things have to look a certain way.
Sure. No, I completely get you, man. It's like having those things identified, I think, is really important. And then put that right up there with your everything else, your day-to-day, your interests, your projects, and it aligns with what your missions are. And again, yeah, it plays a major role in the decisions you may make day after day. As a business owner, you know, as a trainer, as a professional athlete, you got to make these decisions constantly. You got to be here, straight, across, level-headed, and understand like what you're about in order to keep moving. And that's cool. I think as you were talking about how you reformed it or added a couple things, I started thinking about how we should probably get together again, and I should, come to you. We should do a little bit of coaching. We should restructure everything. Maybe you can give me some fresh ideas. The last time we were doing coaching, it was right before the pandemic. And I was going through like how I was going to purchase the old place, and then I ended up opening up this place. It's been nothing but positive shit, dude. And also I will say, like, a lot of things have just naturally unfolded. You know, the classes, the workshops, it hasn't been like a struggle for me to put it together. Things are like just they kind of cohesively exist, or they keep unfolding. I want to say it feels that way anyway.
It looks very organic, actually. It's like, okay, I started with this group. Oh, now I have, you know, twice a week I have these athletes. Oh, now I have them four times a week.
Yeah.
It looks like it grew organically, which is really good to see.
I just fed what the market was saying. Hey, here's what you need. Here's what we need. And I delivered. And they just happened to be along the lines of what I can add, you know, how I can add. I'm a teacher. I'm you know, a male. And I, you know, put out a positive message when it comes to exercise and a positive lifestyle. And it just kind of...
Would you just say you are? That doesn't exist. You're a male. Hold on. Are you actually, I got yelled at by my, for saying this, because they're right. Are you a cisgendered male? Male?
Not to get like so hot with like the topic of gender, but like people say it's a social construct and then people say it's like this genetics and there's no saying ifs, ands, or buts. It's just what your chromosomes are. And like, there's a difference between what you identify as, that's like a interpersonal thing, versus like what you are biologically in the flesh, right?
I'm going to tell you how I feel about it. Uh-huh. If you need to wrap your whole identity up in your gender, you have some psychological problems that will never be fixed no matter what gender you are.
Mm.
So if your whole identity is, I have to identify you, Danny, let's say you feel like you're a woman, whatever that means, usually it means something very sexist, actually. I have a whole different take on all this. It's actually super sexist, because when a dude tries to say he's a girl, what does he start doing? All the things that if you told your wife to do, she would say you were being sexist.
I like to wear a dress.
I feel like a woman, right? If you told your wife, hey, babe, you know, I don't like you wearing pants. You should wear a dress. She'd be like, fuck you. You fucking misogynist pig. So a lot of it is really misdirected. And I think the problem is that it's easy to think that doing something will make you happy. And you see that often. No external in change. You know, you could cut whatever off you want. You could feel however you want. You could tell me I have to acknowledge you. But the problem is they're having trouble acknowledging themselves. Most people are. Mm. It just happens to manifest heavily this way. And I don't know why our society has taken to it so strongly.
We're a sensitive group right now. It's really weird.
It's very odd to me. But I will say this. I think that it can be dangerous, especially because a lot of it is super sexist. And I think the base of it is just confusion.
Mm.
Why do you care so much? Why do you need me to call you something? I tried to put in my pronouns on Instagram and it wouldn't let me. Son of Odin, manimal. It was like pronouns. I was like, oh, my pronouns, son of Odin, manimal. And it was like, no. I was like, oh, I can only be what you tell me is acceptable to be even there. No. Your pronoun has to be either them. Why can't I be it? Fuck you. You're going to tell me what my pronoun should be. But you say be yourself like this. He, she, non-binary. We'll tell you how to be weird. You be weird the way we tell you. Yeah. Fuck you, manimal. Not the way you think. The way we tell you to think, to confuse you. But shouldn't I be it? No, them. Yeah, okay, whatever. Can I be I'm like, it's just as valid for me to say I'm the son of Odin as for anyone to say they're anything else. I'm like, why can't I use that as my pronoun? So it's very weird to me.
It's pretty clear that you are a warrior spirit. Like throughout this whole process, you're very, I don't want to say rebellious, but you've maintained that same character throughout this whole thing. And you're just, it's inspiring. It makes me want to just keep going on my hero's journey. I feel you.
I really feel like I should be doing more to fight against the system. The only problem is I'm deep in the belly of the beast and I do protest a lot and do as much, you know, action as I can.
You don't want to leave New York? Or, I mean, I know you say you talk about it, but
I do. It's not so easy. You know, when you have a lot of shit here, family.
Yeah.
You know, my parents, my wife's shit is, sketchy, is sketchy as fuck right now. You know, where what the Department of Education did to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's really messed up to me, Danny. I do want to talk about this, and this usually will get my podcast fucking shadow banned, but whatever. My wife was disciplined, fired from her job as a New York City teacher, tenure teacher, which is crazy because she could have raped a kid and not got put on leave without pay. But because she refused vaccination, she's on leave without pay. under the premise that she was a public health threat, that she would give someone a disease.
Yeah, okay. Right.
This is the premise. Because you're unvaccinated, you're more dangerous than someone else, you're going to give them a disease. Yeah. At that same time, a lot of the vaccinated teachers, now it's all vaccinated, fully vaccinated. And I don't know if you read the news, but New York City is having a problem with all these cases.
Yeah, same thing here.
Okay, now everywhere, I can't go anywhere. So whoever's spreading it can't be me. I can't go into your school building, neither can my wife. So who's spreading it? So it only can be vaccinated people. So you're disciplining my wife for committing a crime, for maybe potentially committing not a crime because there's no law against it, a sin, an error, that you yourself are committing right now. So I'll give my mother as an example. My mother got the vaccine. She works in a school. Because of the way they changed the protocols, she can go back to work even if she is COVID positive after 5 days because she's vaccinated. So that means she went to work sick. That was okay. And got other people sick, right? Her school cook had to close the kitchen for a week because the cook got sick. Because vaccinated people are going and getting other vaccinated people sick. So they're committing the crime with no penalty that my wife was accused of potentially maybe committing that she never committed because she's always been tested and been clean.
Yeah.
Do you see how psychotic that is?
Yeah, well, I had trouble there's no way to make sense of it, though.
Let's imagine this. Let's say you're a cop and you're like, Manimal, you're under arrest. I seen you send a text message that said you wanted to kill so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, but I didn't do anything. All right, well, it's conspiracy. Okay, fine. You arrest me. Then on the way to the jail, we see that person you said I was going to kill. And you kill them. And then you move on. And I'm like, you just killed that person. They're like, yeah, but it's okay because I'm a cop. But they didn't do anything. But you are arresting me because you said I was going to kill them. Oh, what are you, a fucking white supremacist? Well, what does that have to do with you just killed that dude? You know, on the way to say I was going to kill him. Well, now I can't kill him because you just did. I can't commit this crime anymore.
Yeah,
you
I just did it for me.
You said I was going to get this person sick. You said I was going to go and get the vaccinated people sick because I'm unvaxxed. But you did that thing that you said I was going to do. You already negated my negative action. You did it. It's like if you say, hey, John, you're going to burn that house down. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And you're like, oh, yeah, you are. And you burned the house down. I'd be like, well, I can't burn the house down. You just did. You just committed the error that you said I was going to commit.
Yeah.
So I can no longer commit that error. You already did it.
Yeah. No, I get it. I can't.
Madness.
It's hard for me to make sense of things. And I also get worked up when I try to. So.
But it's like madness to me that I have to be fighting with this. And I told someone the other day, I was like, you know, you have to take a step back here and think, just because everyone thinks this or a majority thinks something, that's often wrong. I'm like, you have to see history. I'm a historian, right? I went for my master's in history at Brooklyn College. And I was taught, you know, to learn the lessons of history. So I'm extremely cautious when I see things happening like they are now. And especially as a Roman historian, I'm like, oh, this is really dangerous stuff going on.
It is. It is. And I'm not sure like what to do, like other than just kind of keep doing the work that I'm doing and just like not drawing attention to things that I don't necessarily need to draw attention towards. Like how do we move forward? I'm not sure. Like,
well, I'm going to tell you what, the censorship is tremendous on social media.
Yeah.
So if you notice, I just use my Instagram. All I do on that is my demographic. I do strength and conditioning for BJJ guys over 40. I put jiu-jitsu content up, all my content. And actually, Danny, it worked really good once I focused on that. Because I've been doing a good online program. And that's my
target. Guys. And then everybody that you have now, is it mostly online or what?
I have some in person, but even my in person are in that demographic now. So I have two guys that signed up with me. Once I moved my Instagram that way, guys I know in person hired me because then they realized they could hire me. So once I have a guy, he's 59. He's like, oh, I want to do jiu-jitsu privates with you. In addition to the regular, in addition to the strength and conditioning program.
Yeah, both said. Good. Good.
And another one, just jiu-jitsu privates. Because they realize these older guys are like, oh, Manimal's 41. He's available. He wants to train me. I let him know I want to train this demographic. And then you could do them online. And then I have like five guys online from that program, which thank the gods. And I'd like to get, I really would like to get eight more for the next round. Because I think that.
Do you put them in like 12 week periods or like how many, like in week periods or 4 weeks?
Yeah, 12 weeks, 88 days, 12 weeks.
And then after that, like they're, like you don't, like they either resign.
I give them a program that they could follow.
And then your job with them is completed. You don't keep them long term.
Well, unless they want to keep doing privates, I'll sell. If they want to do like monthly coaching, I'm not averse to that.
Mm.
Role reviews. There's a lot of things I could do to help them if they need it. But when we finish, I will have taught them all the strength and conditioning exercises, all the mental strategies, all the recovery exercises and methods that they need to do a year on their own if they need to.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to set them up. I'm going to, and really to be able to do forever. If they never use me again, they'll have all the videos that we did, all the exercises.
What platform do you use?
Fucking YouTube unlisted and send it to them.
Oh.
I got five guys. I don't need to go crazy.
Yeah, right.
I send them an email. What do I use? Email. I kept it simple, even to market it all in the DMs. Although I would like to get a one-page site for it. And then maybe this is something you could help me with. I'd love to do an in-person seminar.
They're coming for you. They're coming for you.
No, it's actually too lit. I know they're not coming for me because there was a shootout at the Urgent Care yesterday.
Oh, shit.
And then another one at the Dollar Tree. Helicopters. Three car accidents right around it because of the chaos, madness. So there's a lot going on. I almost can fly under the radar.
Mm.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that I can fly under the radar here, but it's mad. It's wild. As long as anyway, you're vaccinated, you could kill each other.
What are your thoughts about the in-person? What are you saying now? How can I help?
Well, this is what I can use your help with. So I'm going to probably start in New York, but strength and conditioning for jiu-jitsu guys over 40. And then I would do like a 3-hour seminar and I'd run them through the battle board. I'd run them through basic body weight stuff they could do. I'd run them through solo drills that they could do when they can't get to the gym. I would give them a mobility routine. Then we would do a mace workout, a kettlebell workout, like Turkish get up, shit like that. And then we would do some flow rolls. And then I would, you know, try to sell them into my program after that. But off that, they would know all the basic moves they need. And maybe I could give them like a 3-week program as part of that for like $200 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like a nice high priced in person, very specific course.
Yeah. I've thought about these things too. Lately, dude, I've been thinking a lot about doing in-person seminars just as like, I just want to do more teaching in depth like that and also create more space for high school athletes to come in and actually work out in an environment that's not going to judge them on what kind of shots they got or what have you, right? Come in, I want to teach them lifestyle habits, just like how you taught me, that are going to take what you already know as an athlete and, you know, add on that next level. Start dreaming bigger, put those values, those core values, put your day-to-day on there, put those interests, put those projects, the organization of the brain, the conditioning of the brain that every single day really helps you unfold the things that you want to do in your life. And then not only that, but I also find that the downloads, the new ideas that come in, like that is one of the most spectacular things about this journey. Every day I get excited about a little bit of a meditation, a writing session, a conversation like this, interactions with my clients and students. And I like get excited about what potential ideas are coming to the brain and why, and like, why is it relevant? Why is it important? So like, I think about these ideas of doing more seminars, I'm thinking of ways to like keep the community building stronger and stronger. Cause now more than ever, we need that shit, right?
Yeah, I imagine that's your first value, building community.
Building community, it is. It is.
I like it. That seems to be your first value, which is
holding space,
which is extremely important. Yeah, I have another guy who I work with that's a gym owner too, and like one of his first or second ones was building community. It was super important to him. Yeah. He runs a gym. He wants to build community. He wants to help young athletes too. That seems to be very important. I agree. You know, the youth is really miseducated and overly indoctrinated. You know, my wife was a teacher for 13 years. So I got to see a lot of what goes on in the public education system.
Yeah. I was in it myself. You know that.
Yeah. You were a teacher, phys ed teacher, right?
6 years.
6 years. Yeah.
6 years so, bouncing around.
So what are some of the problems you saw in that system?
I mean, it's highly disorganized, a lack of resources, a lack of space, a lot of students, and, lack of disciplinary actions, consistency. It was a lot of political.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Lack of bureaucracy.
Yeah, a lot of that. A lot of like people trying to get other people's jobs, get people fired. A lot of toxic, air inside the building. And like I remember getting to some good schools, thinking to myself like, why is the air feel toxic in here? Like you know how you get to a new building or a new job and you have to like look at everything kind of sensitively and with this kind of, I don't know, not subtly, but just like pay attention to the environment, see what's unfolding and why. And then you start to learn, oh my goodness, this is a weird looking toxic environment here and everyone's out to get everybody else. And we're not here for the kids anymore. And yeah, that to me is like mind boggling. It's like, are we trying to be better educators, be better teachers, inspire, give them quality information? No, everyone's trying to just fucking get by, get paid and then get by.
Make it to retirement, get paid, make it to retirement, and then be out. Do my 25 years and be out and be stable and safe, and that's it. And I tell you what, why does she really get disciplined? It's the same reason that they made Socrates, right? Why they tried Socrates, poisoning the mind of the youth, right? What are you doing? Going to make them think different? You're going to be like, hey, is this right? Let's ask some questions. Do you think, would you do this if a person had AIDS? Would you stop them from coming in to have a hamburger? You wouldn't, but you would stop me, right? We get this, but no, shut the fuck up, Miss Manimal. Why would you want these kids to think? We tell them if you don't do this, everyone will be dead. And that's it. There's no other way to look at it, right? Anything else you tell them other than that? So she taught her whole career, and she's a little hero herself, really a big hero. She's really a bigger hero than me. She's going through a little rough time, but she taught her whole life about thinking about how to, you know, authority, being careful with government overreach, about thinking for yourself, following your beliefs, being true to yourself, right? Because she could have took a fake one. I tell you what, I bet you this too. 20% of people in New York got a fake one.
Oh, for sure.
Fake card, I guarantee it because I know mad people. And you have to think about that too. I know there's one way to think about it. Anyone who did that will tell me that the whole system is corrupt. So the only way to operate in a corrupt system is that you have to also be corrupt. I was like, all right, I guess if that's how you justify it to yourself, but I don't. I'm like, I won't do it. I'm not going to show compliance. It's a dangerous road you're following here.
Yeah.
You'll know when it's too late. And I know now, and it'll be, there's nothing I can really do at the moment. Unfortunately, I do my best, but when it's too late, you'll know. And it's unfortunate.
What does that look like? What's too late? When people realized they've been, lied to technically.
And no. It's too late when you can't say anything about it. And it's already getting there. So when does something become too late? Well, China, if you think about a place like China, I have a friend in China that's in the coaching group I'm in. And we do an hour long conversation and she shows me her app from the government. And it's like, you get a gold star if you're vaccinated. And if you, like, depending who their social credit system. So depending who you interact with, it messes you up. Like, let's say they say Manimal, that guy is dangerous. If you even talk to me, your credit score will go down.
Social credit scores, is that what that is? Is that what that...
Yeah, that's it. So they want to make...
And you get scored based on the people you interact with and what their score
is. It's like a credit score. Think about your regular credit scores. This is what you want to avoid, right? You want to avoid having a social credit system because then we'll put values in that are very arbitrary. Think about things in history. The law is a terrible indicator of righteousness. It's very bad at it. The only things it's good at figuring out is maybe like, don't kill nobody. Other than that, let's think about things that have been legal. Slavery, segregation, women not being able to vote, all these different atrocities, right? Don't even talk about Germany, just talk about America. Okay, women couldn't vote till 1920. That's the law. The law is not necessarily right. The law is very often a terrible indicator of righteousness. Right? Slavery, that's a big one. I run away as a slave, I'm looking for freedom. It's illegal for you to not bring me back.
Yeah, but so, okay, so let's go back to the social credit passport. So your friend has this app and she gets rated based on who she interacts with. Like, how do you, like...
Well, I don't understand how that works, but I'll tell you how the vaccination works. If she's sick, it's red. So they do it all through that. So let's say you go to urgent care and you get tested and you have COVID. Your app turns red. It's all linked in, right? Now, if you're healthy, it's green. And if you're vaccinated, you get a gold star. They give you a little bonus.
And then what do you get? Will you get like cheaper rates for loans? You get...
Oh, I didn't ask her. I should ask her. You know what? Let me find out a little more. Let me... Because it's fascinating, actually, if you think about it.
Maybe we can do like a threesome podcast. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, that'd be great if Chinese sends their army after me.
Well, here's the thing. Like, how would we like put that out publicly and learn about their system and how it impacts the way they live their life, get loans, go to restaurants, hang out with people, run a business. You know what I'm saying? Like, how does it impact all that? Raise their kids?
Didn't China penalize you for having X amount of kids at one point too?
Yeah, I think you can only have one child in China, right? Is that true?
One or two, I forget. And then you see how they'll just son someone. Remember what happened with John Cena?
Oh, yeah, because he did a really deep apology.
He had to, because China sunned him. China was like, yo, son, you said Taiwan is a country, and we don't believe that, even though Taiwan says they're a country. They're not. They're China. Right? That's what China says.
So what does that mean when you sun somebody? Like, you...
They just took John Cena. They just was like, yo, son. They patted like your little kid on the back and they're like, go fucking apologize. Okay? Like, you know when your dad kicks your ass and he's like, go apologize, or your mom kicks your ass.
And if he didn't, like, and if he didn't, what's the consequence?
No Hollywood. You go to get a role and some dude shows up, the minister of finance is like, hey, instead of giving John Cena that role, why don't you give it to The Rock? You know? Oh, but we'll give you, you know what? I want you to use this brand. Here's $20 million. We'd prefer John Cena not to be in it. Thanks. Here's 50 mil. You want to put an Evergrande tower? They're going bankrupt. We could siphon some money out of them. Here's 50 mil from their company. It's already going bankrupt.
It's fucked up.
Don't worry, bro. Keep it.
Easy work. Let's talk about like the fact that people do this type of stuff because they're conditioned to do it, right? They want something so bad, they desire so deeply. There's an emotion.
I can talk about conditioning. I have a degree in psychology.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, of course. Yeah. So let's talk about...
So there's two types of really basic conditioning.
Okay.
So let's talk about two types of basic conditioning. And most people are very familiar with this type of conditioning. They use it all the time. And they're very recalcitrant to admit when they're being conditioned in this way. The first is classical conditioning. That's like Pavlov's dogs. You ring a bell, you feed the dog, you do that 100 times, you ring the bell, he salivates. You don't have to feed him.
Right.
He'll salivate, thinking he gets food. the way you really train an animal well is to give them inconsistent reward mechanisms. First, you give them consistent rewards. You train the behavior first. So when I want to train my dog, here, we're dogs. We are not wolves. As much as I want to be
a domesticated, wolf, you mean? We're domesticated.
We're domesticated. A dog is domesticated. The dog and wolf do not play.
Right.
There's an old Icelandic proverb. Because the wolf, he don't give a shit what the human wants him to do. He's his own animal. The dog wants to appease you. He looks at your eyes, eye contact. If you make eye contact with the wolf, he wants to kill you. He ain't looking in your fucking eyes being like, tell me what to do. Mm. This is a dog trait. It's in their DNA. We bred them this way.
Mm.
So let's look at it as being a dog, how I train my dog. Well, I tell her, come here. I pull her on a string. She comes here. I give her a treat. I do that 1,000 times. She knows when I say, come here, I'm going to give her a treat. I do it 1,000 times, literally. Now, I tell her, come here, and I don't do nothing. And then maybe the second time I give her a treat. Now she has an inconsistent reward mechanism. She does the behavior I want her to do, even without a reward now. That's that's more operant conditioning. Operant conditioning is like B.F. Skinner. He makes a box. The rat pulls the lever.
Mm-hmm.
It gets the reward. Classical conditioning, I'm going to tell you the best one, is in New York, there is 24/7 vaccination commercials. I don't know if it's like that in Chicago. It's not like that when I go down to Tennessee, but
I don't know if it's 24/7. Listen, like I said, I don't watch. Like I really
try to keep... But my wife has the news on, and or if I have the radio on, it's 24/7. It's $1 trillion budget.
Why do we keep the news on though? Let me ask you this. Like, isn't keeping the news on part of our conditioning?
Oh, why do I put 10-10 wins on?
No, I'm just saying, like the news in general, like the news is trying to make you afraid.
It's part of your conditioning, yeah.
It's part of
that's totally the biggest form of conditioning is the media. They're the most dangerous element.
Yeah, and so we still put the news on. So why do we do that?
Why do we do that? Yeah, that's right? A great
like,
question.
Why are we keeping it on in the background? That's just
why would you listen to CNN ever? Like, why does that even get a tweet from someone? Like, yeah, why do we keep that on? What's the alternative is what I would ask you.
The alternative would be to, like what we talk about, is build your battle board. Figure out what emotions drive you and then put that shit around you.
And I know a lot of people listen to books on tape, podcasts.
Sure.
I think that there's going to be even a bigger shift away from common media.
I hope so. I fucking hope so. Because when we talk about conditioning in general, no matter what type it is, it seems to be like an emotional reaction response with a reward.
It's all very emotional.
Over and over and over again. So like what?
And here's the best way to start from scratch. Take everything away and then you slowly give a thing back and give you a bitchy reward for it.
Yes. Yes.
And then you know this becomes
normal and we forget what we had before. And this is what Jordan Peterson was talking about. It's like little by little, if you really want to intend to do that to somebody, like you do this with a little bit at a time, when they come and get you, just like in Nazi Germany started in like the early 1930s. You know what
I consider it 1933 right now. And it is wild because no one's coming to save us. And even the US, if the war was going the other way, I'm going to tell you this right now. I'm a student of history. If the war was going the other way, if Germany had done better in Russia, we would have backed Germany and been like, fuck those Russian communists. You know, it's a terrible thing to think about.
Weird. Well, I mean,
but we were, remember, we didn't get into World War II until 1941, America, but we were selling weapons to both sides.
Mm.
Right? We're making money off that war. War is extremely profitable. And the most extremely and the best profit is made when you go to war with things you can never defeat. Terror.
Mm.
Drugs.
And now wouldn't you say it's a psychological war? And it's not like a war being played out on a battlefield anymore. Now this is the war on the mind. We are currently in the matrix. You and I talk about consciousness regularly. You and I have slipped consciousnesses. We've had psychedelic understandings and interactions where we've had this experience of oneness, this omnipresent feeling of reality, right? Where everything that you feel is normal reality starts to dissipate and you separate from it. And then you don't know what is what, up is down, left is right, which way you're going to be coming home, who you even are. Like, these experiences are somewhat psychotic. And, you know, when we break down how we're conditioned and how we want to manifest our dreams, we do that with an emotional response. We condition ourselves with things around us, the pictures, the videos, the content, the people, right? We throw away all the other bullshit, the quality food, the recovery. And then let's say when your worst nightmare shows up, it's fear, it's guilt, it's jealousy, it's frustration, it's anger, it's I want to do harm and damage to you, or you feel that that's happening to you. And then your reality starts to morph and you can get lost in both dichotomies, good and bad. And
can I bring it back?
Yeah, sure.
It's a that's why I need a battle board so I don't get too lost out here. I need to know where my ship is.
This way, yeah, you tether yourself. Exactly. Anchor yourself.
I need
yourself
a little tether. And in this world, you know, it's tough because as much as I want to be spiritual, I also have to understand that I also do have a lot of physical reality too.
Sure.
Which is also malleable, because think about all the different ways you felt in your life, even physically, all different types of fitness levels. But I was saying about conditioning is that we've become very conditioned, right, to expect a reward for being the government's bitch now. Like, I don't know how it happened so quick. Did you listen to Rogan's last podcast with that doc?
I did.
I listened to the whole thing too, and he's, you know, pretty spot on about what happens with like a mass psychosis event. Exactly. And I think about lemmings. You know, like what lemmings are, right? They all jump off the cliff and kill themselves, or they're potentially kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They just do it with the group. So right. When they get overpopulated, so it's a natural response. It's the way nature corrects for them.
Mm.
When they get overpopulated, they just have a massive mass extinction event. They all run over a cliff. Not all, like 90% of them.
So do you
think the ones that try not to, huh?
No, go back. The ones that try not to what?
The other ones think they're crazy.
And it's a small percentage.
A small percentage.
Got it.
But then that population is the one that survives and then repopulates. And whatever ones were tough enough, also the ones tough enough that fell off the cliff and survived. So there are some of those too. A lot of them die, but.
So are you saying that maybe this type of situation is unfolding in humanity, society today because it's just a self-correction? It's a conscious course correction?
That's my personal opinion. I know it can sound callous.
So is there stopping it or is there just adjusting to it?
I'm not too sure. Me personally, I would like it to create a massive amount of conflict that changes the system.
Well, you're a fighter. Of course you would.
Of course that's what I want. And I'm
hold on, let's go back. Because when you're in a psychotic break or when you're in this psychotic episode, a psychosis, if you will. I mean, you've had bad trips. Those are fucking scary. It's psychosis. You don't know what's what, okay? And you don't know what's back to normal until you start to sober up. But here's the thing. If you are in psychosis and believe a certain thing without checking yourself, you're almost already gone. There's no way to come back because you don't know what you don't know. You know what I'm saying? And it's now normal to you. So this is very dangerous.
Very dangerous, because you can make Malcolm X has a good quote that I actually really like.
What is it?
He's like, and I hate to generalize, but he's so right, only because I live in New York. He's like, the media is the most dangerous enemy of the people. They will make you think the good guy is the bad guy and the bad guy is the good guy. And that can happen. And then how do you correct this? And the unfortunate thing is the only corrector is time. And that's dangerous too, because we might all be dead before it corrects. So that's what's sad to me. I hope it corrects soon, especially since I like to think of it as Ragnarok. And I mean, it suits my worldview. So yeah, I think things are going to get way worse.
You do.
I know that might sound crazy. You think things are bad, but I think they're going to get worse.
Okay.
And then it's going to, I would like to think it's going to lead to a great rebirth.
But you know what?
Things need to correct.
States are completely doing their own thing. Like in Florida and Texas, they live life like the COVID doesn't even exist. And then a place like New York, Illinois, and California, it's lockdown all over again, and new mandates, and new lockdown, and new mandates. And it's just in these small, not small states, but it's just.
How about this? Let me tell you how you know the laws are retarded. I can't go in to my local restaurant and have a drink, but I could shoot heroin outside there and they'll give me free needles and a test to see if it has fentanyl in it. Because of health.
I can't keep trying to make sense of it because we're going to
make sense of it.
We're going to get lost.
Make it make sense. But so when you have a mass psychosis event, how do you know? Here's a good question. So I asked someone this. I was like, when there was segregation, would you have segregated? And it's tough for them to answer that now. You know, it's like, I know I wouldn't have, right? But I'm not so sure. Right, people that now you're like, oh, segregation is a bad thing. Well, obviously, for years they were doing it, and it was backed by the law, and people would go challenge it in court, and they would be like, no, it's fine. So, you have to understand that when you're doing the wrong thing and you think it's for the right reasons, it's easy to justify any kind of sin to yourself, especially when you don't have any values. Most people don't know what their values are.
So is maybe the values something that can tether yourself to this reality?
I think it could, but you're also going to have to leave this reality soon anyway. So you have to kind of have this dichotomy of being. You know that you'll have a period of existence after this, whether it's non-existence, also a type of existence, right? If it's nothing after this, it's a change in your form of existence, even if that is non-existence. And if there is stuff after this, that's going to occupy a lot of the time consumed in whatever you are, because the flesh only lasts so long. Mm. So you have to tread that balance, right? How tethered can you be? Eventually, you won't be tethered anymore. However, in order to not make the worst possible fucking disaster of the physical reality, you do have to have some sense of your own insanity. I'm going to tell you what I know, Danny. I know I'm crazy. And crazy knows crazy. And all these motherfuckers are crazy. Crazy as shit.
You're and crazy. The problem is, but you're also like, you're understanding and you're empathetic and you think about things.
Exactly. The problem is they don't know how fucking crazy they are. They think they're sane. It's like when I worked at I used to work at Kings County Hospital. No crazy dude thought he was crazy. The guy that was, I had a guy who was 6'5", Irish, swore to the gods, swore. He's Tupac. He was like, no, I'm fucking Tupac. He'd be rapping and shit, bad. Yeah, it's not like he started rapping and you were like, oh shit, you're Tupac.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be like if I rapped it. Swore. You don't know he's crazy. You don't know he's not fucking Tupac.
But that's the psychosis we're talking about too, right?
So like, this is the psychosis we're talking about. You have to understand at the base level that we're all subject to bias, prejudice, all different types.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a racial prejudice. All different
persuasion. Types. Persuasion.
I'm prejudiced against vegetables. And another guy is like, well, I'm prejudiced against pork, right? A whole religion's based on that. Yeah. Being prejudiced against the food. It's fucking whole religions based on that bullshit. So you have to understand that you come with all these biases already. That's why you're like, I can think about other things because I know that I might not be right. And the problem is when guys think they're 100% right. And look at what's happening now. I hate to keep bringing it back to the COVID shit because it's going to get me banned, but it's just so relevant. It's like you're doing all these things. You say they work, but that is hard to validate because if they worked so well, you'd have no issue. And then they're like, well, but it's like, stop. If I told someone to do something and they did it and it fucked them up, or they did it and it didn't work, how many times can I still tell them to do something and have them listen to me? Obviously a shit ton, as long as you get them scared enough. Oh, fear. Fear. What's the problem?
That's emotional response. I mean, that's
a fear response. That's the real problem.
That's the first thing there. And then like, and that's another reason why I like all this flow training and like this, like looking at your health and wellness from a nervous system standpoint, because you can do all these things like meditation, fasting, writing, cold therapy, hot therapy, whatever, all the things that we talk about all the time to train your nervous system to be in a nice and easy state, a calm state, a rest and digest, so that when you are amped up again, you can get into a flow state a little bit better. You understand yourself a little bit clearer. You understand the feelings coming through, the information pouring through, the fact that you are a piece of the fabric of everything, right? Coming through in a unique way, in a unique expression to add to humanity. This is what I like to think, and I deeply think about this a lot. And I don't think that a lot of us understand the nervous system as well as we should understand the nervous system when it comes to our fear response, how much inflammation could be because of those fear responses, right? And how that can chronically make us some sort of, how we can develop some sort of chronic disease over time based on our nervous system and where it's at most of the time. Wouldn't you agree?
So I would like to tell you a story about stress and sickness.
Sure.
The thing that lowers our immune system. So there's a few things that greatly reduce the effectiveness of our immune system. And no one likes to talk about this stuff because I can't easily sell you from one company a holistic lifestyle. So what reduces your immune system's ability to fight diseases? And I will tell you, for me, the number one thing that affects my immune system is stress. And I remember when I had my gym, for me, it was stressful. And that stress, I remember being sick all the time.
Sure. You know? But that also depends on the person, right? Because like that can be you stressful or distressful. And how long is it being that kind of
stressful? I'm telling you, for me,
right,
that level of stress would totally compromise my immune system. Because without it, thank the gods, so good. And I hurt my back once just deadlifting a nothing weight. The other deadlifts, I'm like 225, like not even any, like a quarter of my one rep max. Yeah, okay, I lost 1,000. Half my one rep max. So,
thanks for being honest.
I was like, what the fuck am I saying? I deadlift 900 pounds. Then I'd be winning the Olympics. And I remember hurting my back, and it was just really from stress. So now you stress people out. So you weaken their immune system. Stay home. You don't know if your job is going to be intact. We don't know what the fuck we're doing with school. Keep your kids home. You want to stress parents out? They were used to having their kids in school. Keep them home. Now bring them back. Now put them home. Now
CPS.
Stress them out.
Keep talking with them.
Yeah. So you stress them out. Vitamin D. Stay inside. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Sunlight. Very important. Zinc. Zinc deficiency. Super important. Obesity, right? Our whole life is in coaching and being healthy.
Yeah.
You know what the thing that upsets me the most? I am one of the oldest professional athletes, right? I train at one of the highest levels out there. You know, the gym I train at, if you open a door, a top 10 fighter comes out. And I train among killers and savages every day of my life. And a professional athlete at 41 in the hardest sport to me in the world. Who the fuck is going to tell me how to work my body? Get the fuck out of here. I'll do what I want. If I want to, I don't care if something makes my dick 6 inches bigger and makes me a foot taller. I don't have to take it. I'm working on something with my body here. I'll fuck it up with what I want to. Yeah. Do I smoke weed and take mushrooms? Sure. Those things have been around thousands of years. You know, when I take something else, well, I have to evaluate it.
But also,
antibiotics, that stuff's great.
But you shouldn't have to justify yourself to anybody.
I shouldn't have to justify it.
Like, you're already going one step further saying, I got to give you a reason why this is okay. No, fuck that. Like, and with the vaccine too, I thought, in the beginning, I was like glad that it came out because it's going to give people like a lot of satisfaction and safety.
I was happy about that as well.
Yeah, a feeling of safe emotion. Good, but that's fine. Like, take it if you need it. don't like now, like everyone's got to have it. I that automatically just doesn't sit well with me. Like I'm not a controversial guy. I'm not somebody like I just like in like you're a professional athlete again. Who's going to tell you what to do with your body? It's part of my business. It's part of the things that I've been learning about since I was a kid. You know, it doesn't make sense. And I've never taken flu shots before.
Like, me neither.
Yeah, I never.
I've taken a tetanus shot before, though. I used to work for a blacksmith.
Yeah, I did too. I did too.
And I remember all the blacksmiths were like, "Yo, we get cut by metal a lot. You might want to take a tetanus shot." I was like, "Okay, I looked. I was like, these guys have been doing this 50 years.
Once every 10 years, you take that shot.
Right? Or they like to do it every 5 because of how much they get cut.
Not 4 in a year. Okay.
Right. And I would have been pissed if I got tetanus after getting my tetanus shot.
Yeah, I mean, like,
you know, we used to call that a vaccine failure. If you got polio after getting your polio shot, tell me you wouldn't have been pissed, right? Yeah, you'd be pissed. Yeah, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Of course, but we can't.
And then they're all getting this shit, and then they're like, oh, but thank God, because I would have died. I'm like, well, probably not. You're really attributing things that might not exist. So that happens a lot. Problems of attribution, Danny. We do this a lot.
This is part of the consciousness thing, though, right?
Part of the consciousness.
You bring on things to yourself that you're constantly thinking about. It's the same concept.
No, we have problems of attribution. So I'm going to give you a good one. Let's say I start selling this. See this? This protects you from getting hit by meteors. And then I start telling you how many meteors hit the earth every day. I make you scared about it. And I'm like, here, you know, this $1,000, this will protect you from meteors. I'll be like, I've been carrying this thing for 41 years. I've never got struck by a meteor. Well, that's probably not why. I'm making an attribution. Totally untrue, which is not very common.
I got it.
You know, if you extrapolated the size of the earth, while a lot of meteors do hit the earth, a lot of them burn up. The likelihood of that happening, very unlikely. Or if I said the same thing with lightning, this protects me from lightning. I've never been struck by lightning in 41 years. You need to get this. Mm. And that's not even that dangerous. What becomes dangerous is when I say, you have to get this. Don't you want to be protected by lightning from lightning to help protect your fellow man? You wouldn't want to get struck by lightning and then be a burden to the system, would you? You have to have this lightning rod. No, don't worry. We'll just stick it in your skin. What? I don't want to. Oh, no, you have to, or else you'll lose your job. It's like, what? But I'm okay. No, you're not okay. It's like, what? So I can't wrap my head around it. Yeah. Like, I understand the argument of the other side. That's like, we'll do it so you're safe, but it still doesn't justify mandates. Because it's like, if you were safe, you'd be safe. Right? It's like.
Right. And that's
a slippery slope. Where does it end? Does it end with everyone having to? I'm going to tell you where it ends. I'm going to tell you where it ends. I used to work in a mental hospital, right? You know what we do every day at the mental hospital? What do we do first thing every morning? Everyone lines up, single file line, and everyone takes their meds every day. You line up, you take your meds, open your mouth, under your tongue, manimal. Right? Swallow your medication, take your fucking... You know, your antipsychotics, take your antidepressants, take your meds every day. And everything is, you don't have a choice. They make you do it. It's a corrections facility. You have to take your meds. You get out of line, we give you a needle of Thorazine, boom, you're knocked unconscious for 2 days. When you wake up, take your fucking meds. So is that where it ends? Take your fucking meds every day. That's you come into school, take your meds. I don't know, because everyone's on antipsychotics. Every fucking person I talk to but me is on antipsychotic medication. I'm like, and you call me the crazy one. Sick people get medicine for the disease they have. I'm like, I'm operating pretty well. Although society would say I'm a public health threat. I'm like, okay, I feel all right. Thanks for telling me I'm not.
Yeah, but then you also said it earlier in the episode where you were like, people who are crazy, they don't know that they're crazy.
Yeah.
So then like... Have you ever, how long do you sit, and I got to wrap this up soon, but here's a question. How long do you sit with your values and thoughts and then say to yourself, am I the crazy one? And ponder that question. How often do you like?
I know I'm crazy. That doesn't mean I'm wrong.
Okay, what about when, like, you're, like, do you ever say to yourself, okay, this is, let's say I'm the crazy one in a sense that maybe.
Oh, what if I'm wrong?
Yeah, like, maybe okay. You are wrong.
What if I am? Let's take a bet. I'm a gambling man myself.
But, like, how often do you sit with that feeling?
Every
like,
day.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong. Maybe I should get
every
back.
Every day. That's part of being intellectually curious is questioning your own beliefs every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that I spend,
I do it every day. Every day I'm like, oh, what if I'm wrong? And then I'm like, okay, well, what makes me think I'm right? Is it worth it to do it the other way? What's your level of commitment like for this? I weigh it out the same way I weigh everything. I think about it every day though. And the fact of the matter is, I just don't think I'm wrong. You know, and that's okay if I'm crazy and I am wrong. Prove it to me. I'm a fighter. You say you kick my ass, fucking kick my ass then. Right? You say you could whoop my ass, show me, motherfucker. I believe in a meritocracy. So if you say something, all right, show me. Do the thing you say. If you tell me the call works, I turn the car on, it works, right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I know. We can.
It's
easy
to show me things work. Like, if you say this, you got to show me it works.
Yeah.
You know, so I haven't been shown anything convincing enough.
What is, what do you think, what are your top 1-2 things that somebody can do to recenter themselves right now and moving forward to, like, think about what their next move could be to add value to this situation?
That's a good question. It depends how far they feel to a certain way. You know, how drastic does it have to be? But I think the easiest thing to do is just see what's around you and you start there. What could I do with what I have? Always the best place to start. And then as far as recentering, I mean, I think daily habits are important, a daily practice.
The battle board, baby.
The battle board. I think a physical practice is very important.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, aren't we, as long as I'm going to have this fleshy body, I want to do good work with it. You know, yeah, I want to make sure it's all right. You know, I cleaned my coffee cup the other day too. Nice. You know, I'm going to have it. I clean it. I try not to break it.
Me too. I try not to leave it anywhere. I do that a lot.
I have to leave it anywhere. Yeah.
Do you feel that, okay, there are guys like you and I who are constantly analyzing the good, the bad, the goals that we want, how we can add value, some of the protocols that we can enhance, tighten up to get better downloads from the ether, navigate consciousness a little bit more deeply, become that second degree black belt in metaphysics, right? Like we talked about before. But do you feel like part of the problem is there's a handful of people that are just like, oh, this doesn't affect me. I'm just going to live my life. I'll get jabbed. I'll do this. I'll do that. I don't care. I'll just follow.
80%. 80% of people, I think, just don't want to do. They just want to get by. You know, 80%. That's what I personally believe. I think like a good 80% of people. Huh?
You think it's that many?
Just want to get by.
And then in that 80%, do you feel like they still have the fire, the potential, the possibility to break and
maybe half of them? Spell? Maybe half of them.
And you think the other half of that are just PCs or NPCs?
NPCs, yeah. And they can never become a PC. Yeah.
Never, huh? They're just...
They just can't, yeah. It's just not in their DNA.
You think that's the fundamental truth of physical reality that... 40% or 30% of these people are NPCs?
I think it might be. I know it sounds weird, but I've been around the block a while. It does seem that way to me.
So should we have any ounce of worry? Should we just keep carrying on our hero's journey, just keep on fighting the only way we know how to, and just like, what about everybody else? Just like hope, faith?
Just man, no, because hope is a terrible concept. Hope is in Pandora's box for a reason. I'm out here working.
Yeah.
And as much as I can, I'm looking for the opening where I'm going to be able to make the most impact against the tyranny that's manifesting.
And that's all you can do.
And I don't know where that's going to be, but my eyes are open. I'm trying to see where is that. And wherever there's the fight for freedom, that's where I want to be able to put myself when it happens. Right now, I mean, I'm fighting. I told you, we do the damn things out here. I was supposed to go to a protest today in Albany, but the gods decided no for a bunch of reasons. But yeah, you know, I'm fighting a good fight out here, doing whatever I can. You know, but yeah, it doesn't look good. I think New York's going to get worse. I don't like Eric Adams as the new mayor. He's worse. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Really, he's a sheep dog. So if it's wolves and sheep, you don't have to worry about the sheep. No amount of sheep worry the wolf. What you got to worry about is the sheep dog. He looks like a sheep, but he's not. He's a dog of the master. And remember, dogs are dangerous because they'll always pretty much obey their masters. Why do pit bulls get a bad rap? They're super obedient, crazy easy to train. They know I want you to kill, they fucking kill. They're like, that's my dad. I kill for him. Whatever he wants me to do, I do. They're the dog, right, of the master. So you have to be careful because those guys are the most dangerous. And I even see it at the protest. I got to warn my guys. I'm like, look at these two guys here. I was like, that dude strapped to the gills, vested up. I was like, these guys are here. You know, these guys aren't part of the crew. This is guys looking for shit. The agitators, they might be undercover security. They might be FBI, CIA. You got to watch these dogs in the crowd. So being a lifelong, you know, freedom fighter, you pick it up. I was like, oh, what the fuck? How is this dude wearing? He looks like he's supposed to look. He looks like he belongs there, right? A little older guy. He looks like he should be there, but he shouldn't. You got to be careful for these guys. And there are a lot of them. So, and that happens a lot in politics. Someone will act like they're the, you know, part of the sheep. They're like, no, I'm part of you guys. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to cancel student loans. I'm going to cancel this. I'm going to give you a fat check. Guys, I got your back. And then it's like, no, I'm not doing that. You know, that's the most dangerous ones. That's who we have to watch out for. So I'm trying to stay away from them and then find my other wolves and call to them. You know, I want to find my other freedom lovers.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. That's why.
Yeah. On that note, you got a spot here anytime you want to come to Chicago, have you in the gym, at my house, whatever. We, you know, enjoy some time.
Yeah, I got to come by. Let's talk about it. Let me know what kind of seminar you think I could do. Should I do a strength and conditioning for the older jiu-jitsu guy, and I'll send like emails to all the jiu-jitsu schools around you? Maybe. I got a friend out in Chicago who does jiu-jitsu out there, so maybe I could do that.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more. If anything, you know.
We'll talk a little bit more about it. Let's see. And Danny, I'm going to put this on my podcast.
Sweet.
Where could they find you? We were a little all over the place, but we'll call this one Connecting Consciousness.
Yeah. My Instagram is at Danny Cola Fitness. I own a gym called Underground Fitness Studio. So you can find that Instagram at underground.fitness.pr. But mainly Danny Cola Fitness. That's where like I reside on Instagram. I have a YouTube channel that I got to spruce up. This is my first podcast in over a year.
Oh, wow.
Dude, I'm really glad that we chatted, man. You're a fun guy to talk to. You always inspire me. It's fun to just pick your brain and just kind of keep on fighting the good fight, you know?
So awesome. You. I'll see where the universe takes me.
Yeah, me too.
But I am going to make sure it takes me at least for a day or two to Chicago.
I would love to have you, man. It'd be great.
All right. Awesome.
All right, buddy. Great to see you soon. Be well.
Odin be praised.
Odin be praised.
And that was the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure that you are subscribed on your favorite podcast platform, whether that be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or however you may be listening to your podcast. Check us out and subscribe on YouTube at Danny Cola Podcast. There you'll get the full video version of each podcast. And that's it. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I hope this has brought value to your day in some way, shape, or form. Reach out on Instagram at Danny Cola Fitness or on TikTok at Danny Cola Fitness.